Now, back to a couple of guys who thought Lassie could never really do any of that stuff anyway, and that Timmy was the brains of the operation. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Rick, in this segment, we've got a real treat. The last time our guest today was in, unfortunately, if you remember, I was a little bit under the weather and didn't get the chance to be here for it. And I've got to say, of all of the people, as I've gone around and talked about the show, the one person who everyone seems to want to go to the website and listen to and hear what he had to say is our guest today. We've got with us Mike Morgan, who happens to be a master trainer for the International Police Work Dog Association, and he's also the owner of Mid-Michigan Kennels here in this area. So welcome back to the studio, Mike. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Great. And also with you, you've brought Sergeant Bill Burgoyne, who happens to be with the White Pigeon Police Department. And Bill, my understanding is your claim to fame is you've worked with canine patrols for quite a while, and you're actually on to your second dog. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Well, great. Thank you for coming in. We're glad to have both of you. We're going to talk today about the issue of service dogs and police dogs in particular, and I'm very curious to know about the life of police dogs and what they do. Obviously, Hollywood for a couple of decades has personified the issue of the police dog, but those of us out here aren't really sure how accurate that personification is. So I guess to begin with you, Sergeant, can you tell us, what is a typical day in the life of the police canine patrol? What do you guys do? How active are you?
Well, you can basically divide it into two categories. You have the at-home care with the police dog, and then you have the work aspect with the police dog. At-home care, it's basically like any other dog. You know, you got to clean up the yard. He's in the house. You got to feed him. You got to replant the flowers in the wife's flower beds, fill in the holes, just to do the basic care that you normally do with a dog. At home, they don't get a lot of toys to play with, because that's what they're working for when they're out on the street.
Right.
The patrol portion is, he's in the car with us. Bigger departments, that might be all you do is just canine work. Smaller departments, such as ours, you handle complaints. You go on calls, write tickets, and on top of doing the dog calls.
Do you get many calls where the dog is required? I mean, how many calls in a typical week's time do you think that you would get where the dog is actually a functional part of doing the police work?
It just depends. It depends on the week. There's some days you might have 3 or 4 calls in a day. There might be days you may not use a dog at all. The county that I work in is a fairly small county. We only have 4 dogs for the whole county. A lot of times we spend time assisting other agencies that don't have dogs or, such as the Michigan State Police, we have a post in White Pigeon, but the closest dog is probably 45, 50 minutes away, for the state police dog. So a lot of times the state police call us, when they need a dog.
How does the dog keep its sharpness going? I mean, I'll kid around and say, do you have a Scooby snack that motivates the dog to jump in and do what it's supposed to do? Because I would imagine that if it's not consistently doing the work, that just like people, it needs to be motivated.
Right. And I think Mike could probably explain this a little bit better. Basically, the dogs have ball drive. The dogs that we get from Mike have ball drive. And it's usually a tennis ball, a tug, something like that. And that's what they're working for. When they're looking for the drugs, they're basically giving us an indication that the drugs are there, and we give them a ball or give them a tug, and that's what they're working for.
Gotcha.
Now, you were mentioning drug and kind of drug hunting, if you will. But are there other functions that your particular dogs do, or is that specifically the main function that they have?
Well, you have single-purpose dogs and dual-purpose dogs. The dog that I have is a dual-purpose dog, which it searches for narcotics. It does tracking. It does area searches, handler protection, suspect apprehension.
Yeah, and I would think that in the rural communities or less populated areas, that's probably a far more functional dog because he's multi-purpose, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're talking this morning with Sergeant Bill Burgoyne of the White Pigeon Police Department, as well as Mike Morgan, the master trainer from the International Police Work Dog Association. Mike, when you're working with the dog, I would imagine that you've got to go through very early on and determine what is going to be a good dog for doing this kind of function. Not all dogs are meant for this. What breeds do you typically focus on, and how do you go about selecting a dog to be trained for police work?
A lot of times, the majority of the breeds that I work with are going to be German Shepherds, a Belgian Malinois, and or Labrador Retrievers. And each of those breeds is kind of geared toward a certain type of work. For example, if we want to do a – Bill talked about a dual-purpose dog, and his dog – dual-purpose meaning it does two things. And his dog does the narcotics detection, and he also does all the patrol aspects. And if you're going to use a dog for just single-purpose, like narcotics detection or explosives detection, that dog can either be a Labrador or a Belgian Malinois or German Shepherd. If you want the dog to do the dual purpose, which is going to be a detection role, sniffing, whether it be explosives or narcotics, and then he also does the patrol aspect, that dog's going to have to be one of the Belgian Malinois or German Shepherd. Labradors just don't typically have it in them to be, you know, the patrol type dog that's going to apprehend suspects and that type of a criminal situation. So that's the type of breeds we use.
I've been doing this for, you know, at least in the industry for a lot of years, and I've never actually heard myself personally about the Belgian Malinois.
Belgian Malinois. When I go do school programs, I usually will talk about that breed, and then I'll put enough dashes on the board to play hangman and try to get the kids to spell Malinois.
I'm not trying. I'm on.
And I've only had one class in all these years that actually spelled it right, and that's because the little girl in the class, they actually owned one, so she kind of had a heads up
not
on me.
Not fair.
But in the Belgian Malinois, you know, you can obviously Google it, but the gist of it is it looks like a smaller framed German Shepherd. They've got the pointed ears. They're typically a fawn color, maybe a brindle, and they're just really, really hyper. We jokingly refer to them as coyotes on crack because they're just such a high, spazzy, energy-driven dog. And they're pretty much, you know, they derive from Holland, Belgium, and Austria are typically the places they're coming in from.